And welcome to the final message of our Sunday morning series, 2022, the Year of the Miraculous. You know, we established early on in this series that it is often in the midst of what appears to be impossible situations that God shows up, changes everything, performing a miracle. There are approximately 160 fully documented miracles that you'll find in the Bible. But if you were to count those that are referenced but not fully documented, the numbers would reach into, yes, into the hundreds. I love what John says about the miracles of Jesus, because we know that in the New Testament, it's very easy to pick out some of the miracles of Jesus, which, of course, he healed the sick, he opened blinded eyes, he made the lame to walk, the deaf to hear, the mute to speak. He forgave sin. He raised the dead back to life. He fed the 5,000. He fed the 4,000. He cast out demons and devils. All of this we find recorded. Yet here's what John says in John chapter 21 and verse 25. There are so many other things Jesus did that if they were all written down, each of them one by one, I can't imagine a world big enough to hold such a library of books. Think about it. He is saying of everything that he has done since the day he was in creation with the Father, from that moment on, all throughout history, he said if we were to record each and everything that the Lord has done, there would not be enough room on earth for the libraries to hold the books. The psalmist David, he was one that experienced from youth on the miraculous intervention of God many times in his life. In Psalm 23, we find David then sharing with us some insights, some keys. How can we live in the year of 2022 and live in the miraculous? What are the keys to doing so? And he shares here in Psalm 23 how he positioned himself both mentally and spiritually to live daily in the exciting realm of the miraculous. Let's take a look one more time. Psalm 23, starting with verse 1, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they do comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Now, if you want to live in the realm of the miraculous, you need to start where David started. And David started with the elementary truth, but the foundational truth, that the Lord is. That the facts of life and the facts that surround us tell us the Lord is. David was not an atheist, nor was he some kind of a confused agnostic. There is no question at all in David's mind. The Lord, the everlasting, the covenant-keeping God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, there's no doubt in his mind the Lord exists, the Lord is. And he goes on beyond that by saying, "I am not ashamed to declare this one, this Lord that is, he is my shepherd, the Lord is my shepherd." He is saying, in saying that he is the shepherd of his life, that I have yielded my life to Jehovah. He is the one that is leading my life. Therefore, I shall not want. I find all that I desire in him. He is the one that makes me lie down. You know, there are times when the Lord physically makes us lie down. There are times when he pulls, I would say, the rug off from underneath us. Times when we are self-sufficient, times when we're running so fast and so hard that our spirit and our soul are left behind somewhere. It's in those moments, David said, he makes me lie down. Not invites me, but rather he's saying there's times when he just says, you're going to take some rest. Then he leads us beside the green pastures to the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He rebuilds me from the inside out. He leadeth me. He never leaves me nor forsakes me, is what he is saying. His rod and his staff, they comfort me. I will not fear walking through the valley of the shadow of death, for thou art with me. And he goes on to say, you set a feast before me when I'm surrounded even by my enemies. The cup you give me is full. It's brimming over. Last week, we talked about what a half cup meant and what a full cup meant. Remember, the half cup meant be refreshed, be blessed, and be gone. If you received a full cup, the host was saying, I like you. I want to spend time with you. Don't go out into the dark of night. Stay until morning. Let's enjoy fellowship together, and you can leave in the light of the day if you need to do so. It was a cup full, and David said, the cup the Lord gives me is one that's overflowing. Now we come to what I believe is the capstone then of the entire series. He says in verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Surely. You know, that word surely there is in many other translations translated as certainly. He is saying absolutely, without question, there is no, you know, debating about it at all, of an absolute certainty and an assurance, the goodness and the mercy of the Lord are going to follow me all life long. You know, goodness and mercy are called the twin guards. Why? Because goodness supplies our needs and mercy blots out our sin. So he says, both goodness, the supply, all that I need in life. I have need of nothing more. God's going to be my supply and supplier. Goodness, supply my needs, and mercy, blot out my sin. You know, goodness and mercy, when they're coupled together, I believe they describe the consistent character of God. You know, the Bible tells us in the book of Malachi that God does not change. And I'm so glad that God does not change. In the midst of a changing world, where there's governments changing, where weather change, where hopes and dreams are made and then they're broken, and all things change round about us, I am so glad to know that we serve a changeless God, and that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen, church? He is unchanging. And the goodness and the mercy of God describe the character of God. God is good, and God is merciful. Now, in Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 to 23, I want you to see what it says here. It says, the faithful love of the Lord never ends. Aren't you glad for that? Aren't you glad for that? You know, I can do this at home by myself. We've gathered together. Let's help each other. All right? The faithful love of the Lord never fails. His mercy never ceases. Then look at verse 23 there. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies began afresh each morning. Every single morning, he is saying that the Lord gives us fresh new blessings, and part of those blessings is the mercy that is fresh for every day. I enjoy getting up early in the morning when I'm in a strange city just to listen and watch that city awaken. In some cities, when I've been like in Jordan, Amman, Jordan, and that part of the world, oftentimes what you first hear in the morning is the roosters. And those roosters begin to crow, and it's an indication that morning is coming, and the roosters are saying, get up, the day is fresh. And you'll find that in other parts of the world, what you'll hear is the diesel trucks as they begin to rumble down the streets, and many times cobblestone streets. And what they're doing is they're delivering the fresh fruit, the fresh vegetables, the fresh bread that was baked during the night, and the dairy products, bringing them to the restaurants and bringing them to the little shops. Many times the shops and grocery stores are so small that they only have just the sustenance for the day. And so during the night, they're waiting now in the morning for the fresh delivery. Friend, I don't know about you, but I am mighty grateful to God for His mercy, loving mercy, that is delivered fresh and new every day. And He brings it to us early, the Bible says, in the morning, as we get ready to start our day out. Notice now, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. You know, at first glance, it may appear like goodness and mercy, they are following us around like two little puppies as they want to follow us in life on a leisurely walk. The Hebrew expression of follows, however, is quite different. It is actually emphatic here. And in the Hebrew, when it's emphatic, it is literally saying, not only do they follow, meaning, you know, just kind of following gently behind, but it is saying, it follows me like you're in pursuit. And so goodness and mercy, David says, pursues us like a sheepdog chasing down a wandering sheep. His goodness and His mercy follows us. You know, the Holy Spirit is often referred to as the hound of heaven. And when that term hound of heaven is used, there is no disrespect intended at all. It is merely saying that the Holy Spirit does not give up. The Holy Spirit is the one that pursues us, and He pursues us with goodness and with mercy. He is unrelenting in His pursuit of our lives. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me, shall pursue me all the days of my life. You know, friends, I've discovered that life is an ever-changing color wheel. One moment to the next, and it's all different. My uncle, Uncle Ernie, we'd love to go over to his house because he was kind of guy that always had the newest of electronic devices, and he was the first one to get games and, you know, all of that you could play on your television. Matter of fact, he was the first owner of a colored television that I'd ever known. And so we'd go over to Uncle Ernie's house. And Uncle Ernie, during Christmas time, he would bring out his Christmas tree, and it wasn't a green tree, nor was it a flocked white tree. It was a silver tree that looked much like maybe tinsel, made out of tinsel. And then he'd bring out this color wheel. Anybody be able to picture this with me? And this color wheel, he would shine it onto this silver tree, and as the lamps would turn, or as the wheel would turn, it would change the color, the reflection of that silver tree. And so it was orange in this section, and they were little wedges, you know, kind of pie-shaped. And as it would circle on around, the color of the tree would change from orange to maybe blue or to green or, you know, yellow or some other of the colors. You know, life is somewhat like that. Even during a single day, the color wheel of life changes. We go here from green pastures and still waters to the valley of the shadow of death, and it all can happen in an instant. All the days of my life, he says, all of them, they're guided by His goodness shall follow me all the days of my life. And when he is saying all the days of my life, he's not merely speaking numerically. He is speaking here of all the seasons, all the things that can change within a day. I've used this as an example before, but it bears repeating because I believe all of us have had a like experience. I remember being with our primetimers while we were visiting the town of we were there. Fort Atkinson, thank you. Were you there too? All right. And so in Fort Atkinson, it was a fish fry night. Our primetimers had come. We had a busload, and what a fun night we were having. And I just went through the line, and in the line there at Fort Atkinson, there at the fireside, they would say this, that you could only go through the line once. And so knowing that I could only go through the buffet line once, okay. So I sat down with and I grabbed my fork, getting ready to stab into that first good bite. And the maitre d' came. He said, "Are you Jerry Brooks?" I said, "Yes, I am." He said, "I've got a phone call for you here. Can you please come and follow me?" It was my brother. He had tracked us down and found us there at the fireside. The first words of my brother, "Your dad has died." And suddenly, the color wheel was changed. You know what? That color wheel has never been the same again. For the years between the death of my father and the death of my mother, it was not the same going back to our hometown. Oh, we love, the rest of the family. That's not the question. But the color wheel had changed. And it changed in a second. That's all it takes. I was listening to a young man in the city of Kyiv. The bombs were dropping round about. The city was shaken. One of the high-rise apartment buildings had just been hit, and shrapnel and so on was falling to the ground. And with tears in his eyes on national television last night, he said, "I never believed that I would see this. I couldn't believe," he said, "that they would intentionally come and destroy our city and our nation in an instant." And David is saying there's some times in life that are so good. They're good days. And there's some days in life, how can you describe them other than they're hard and they're bad days? There are dark days, there are bright days, there are times of plenty, there's times when you're in want, there are joyous days, and there's times of heartache. When I was young, he says, you were there. In those days when I was strong and whole and mighty, he said, all of these things, you were there, but I've also discovered you've been here with me when I've been old. It's the color wheel, it keeps on changing. What I've discovered, you can't go back. This color wheel of life and of time doesn't necessarily recycle and go back around and around. So what goes around will come around one more time. He says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, all the seasons of my life, all the times of the day of my life. When I'm on the mountaintop or in the valley low, whether it's by green grass and still waters, or whether it's going through this dark valley of gloom, he said, I've come to discover surely goodness and mercy. They're pursuing me in every day and every moment of life. It was in Psalm 37 and verse 25 that David says this. He said, I've been young and I'm old. He's making a comparison. The wheel of life has continued on. He said, I've been young and I'm old, yet I've not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. He said, I give testimony that God is good, and that his goodness and his mercy, they have followed me all the seasons, all the days, in the good times, the bad times, in the times that I would say, I don't want this moment to ever pass by, or to the moments where I say, this can't go far enough away, quick enough. He said, he is with me. Look at verse 6 again of Psalm 23. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, all the seasons, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That word dwell there is a very important word in this context now. Because up to this time, they've been nomadic, wandering in the pasture lands. And he is saying that now I have a home. I'm headed to a home. I will dwell. I will stay. I will remain. I will abide in the house of the Lord forever. That phrase is actually better rendered this way. I will return and abide in the house of the Lord. What David is saying is we've wandered long enough out here trying to find pasture land, trying to find water as sheep following after the shepherd. The shepherd is now saying it's time to go back home. And now they're going to make their journey. I love what Jesus said in John chapter 14. He said, "Let not your heart be troubled," to the disciples, when he had just informed them that he was going to be returning back to the Father and that he would not leave them as orphans on the earth. He says, "Let not your heart be troubled in such a moment as that. Believe, you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, the good shepherd, there ye may be also. And whether I go, you know, and the way you know," Thomas saith unto him, "Lord," or shepherd, "we know not whether thou goest, and how can we know the way?" Jesus said unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He is simply saying, with all the wandering, that's not the end. The best is yet to come. You're going to be able to put down your staff. You're going to be able to put down yourself in the presence of God in a place he has prepared for you forever. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Psalm 23 perfectly describes what I believe to be anyone's journey of life, all of ours. There's lots of good days, but then there's a few bad ones. Always, however, the sheep are under the watchful care and guidance of the Good Shepherd. He always knows what's going on. At the end of the psalm, the shepherd and the sheep are headed back home to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You know, the cold winter season was soon to arrive. And to be out in the fields trying to, garner just enough to eat, and the cold and the dampness and the snow was no place to be. Well, you say, this was written in the context of Israel. I know that when we think of Israel, we all picture Jesus always in just a light, garment. He's got open-toed sandals, and it's always hot, it's always dry. I have been in Jerusalem when they've gotten 6 inches of snow. You don't necessarily picture Jesus with a stocking cap, gloves, and boots on. But winter comes, and in this part of the world, when winter comes, especially in those months in the northern part of Israel, or in the height of where Jerusalem is located, the ground just turns to a greasy mud. And so the shepherd is always reading the sky, and he's reading the season in which they're living. And the shepherd would then turn the sheep towards home, and doing so before the weather hits. Friends, the shepherd of our soul, Jesus Christ, I believe is heading us home right now. And I believe the storm clouds are gathering in the horizon, and the best is yet to come. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, he says, I want you to comfort one another with these words. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It looks like the sausage race, don't it? Surely, absolutely, positively, no doubt about it, his goodness and mercy shall follow me. I'm going to chase them down, and it's going to happen all the days and all the seasons of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and forever and forever. You know, the journey of life, friends, for all of us, has moments up and down, and you know, sometimes the color wheel stops at a given spot, and we just say, I don't like where I'm at. I don't like what's going on. God loves you. God cares for you. And there's nothing that He wants more than you to dwell with Him in the Father's house forever. All the years that we've lived here in Milwaukee, we've never lived closer than 600 miles to my parents or to Sherry's parents. Matter of fact, they only live about 12 miles from each other. And so when we make our trip back home, sometimes, let me tell you, especially, we finally gave up trying to do it during the winter. We ran into horrible storms and snow that, you know, you just couldn't make your way through. But here's what I want you to know. No matter what time of day or night, we had beat it down the road and finally get to either Sherry's folks or my folks while they were living. Didn't make any difference what time of day or night. Sometimes we would be delayed along the way and difficulties would arise. And as soon as we opened the door, it was welcome home. It's so good to see. They'd take those little grandbabies out of our arms because they hadn't seen them for so long and hug on them and kiss them, hold them. Welcome home. Don't miss out on the welcome home, friends. He's leading us. The storm clouds are rising, and the shepherd is saying, this is no time to be living out in the pasture. We're headed home. Father,